You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
I don't want to be prisoner of the moment. I don't want to be the guy who the last thing I saw is the best thing I ever saw. But do you guys have a nominee for me on when he drops back to pass and he throws it deep, you have more expectation of beauty than Russell Wilson's parabola ball? The floating long pass that he throws with this
it's beautiful with this absurd
accuracy. And who do you put in that conversation? Because I'm not talking about biggest arms here. I'm just talking about when he drops back to pass. I was watching a college football game, and the kid from Michigan, Milton, who transferred over to Tennessee, has a giant arm, and it's a giant arm for no good reason. All he did was drop back and overthrow every receiver by 15 yards. And it's a bigger arm than the one Russell Wilson has, but there's just no touch on anything. He's just launching the ball, missile launchers all over the place. He was useless and inefficient every time. I think they benched him. I was getting mad at him. I'm like, stop.
He's just trying to show off how far he can throw it.
Just stop. Stop doing that.
I mean, not since Stephen Morris, probably.
Again with Stephen Morris.
I actually think, to take it seriously, I do think that Derek Carr last night, The throw that he threw to Henry Ruggs late in that fourth quarter, I love the touch that Derek Carr puts on a floated ball down the field. It's similar to Russell Wilson for me.
Is it really?
I do
not put him in that class.
I watched Derek Carr, and he was really frustrating in a game that he threw for over 400 yards. He was throwing behind receivers at some point. I think he could have been tried in at least two states for involuntary manslaughter on his receivers. Or Darren Waller is going to get injured if he keeps racking up those inefficient targets right there. But if you take Derek Carr and you put him in the early 90s or 70s or 80s, any other era, and Derek Carr might be the face of his quarterback generation.
I think of Josh Allen, too, with that big, lofty downfield ball. Like, during the weekend, there was one that he kind of floated into the stands. It was actually pretty funny. He was kind of getting rid of it, and the announcer was like, there's actually fans in the stands to catch those this year, implying that he kind of does it a lot. But he's got a big arm like that, too, like Wilson.
But I'm not thinking of big arm there. I'm talking about
the touch that makes it so impressive.
I don't know that I've ever seen someone throw a deep ball like that. And it's not arm strength. It's because it's like a punt. And it's not on a line. He seems to be throwing it a little. It has a hang time to it.
But he's got that wide receiver who's not human running underneath of it.
Well, but it's Lockett more often than it's Metcalf. Yeah. It's not usually Metcalf the one that's running down the field. John Gruden said last night that Waller's the best football player he's ever coached. And Mike Silver pointed out, hey, you coached Jerry Rice.
and Tim Brown.
Yeah, but he got Jerry at the end.
Rich Gannon won MVP.
At the end, Coach Warren Sapp.
At the end, Jerry Rice had more yards at 40 years old than Waller's ever had in a season.
Waller's so good, though.
I'm not disputing that Waller's good, as if Rice isn't.
That's a good point, Dan. He's the greatest football player ever.
They threw him 19 times last night. It was crazy. Unbelievable.
Not enough.
No, right.
I throw to him every time I drop back. That's where I'm throwing the ball. I got no use for anybody else.
That's their best weapon. I was actually encouraged by, wow, they're just doing what we would do in a video game. Yeah. They're throwing it to the best possible player. He's incredible. If I have one regret with today's show is we didn't talk about exactly how batshit crazy last night was. And how John Gruden called the timeout, and we were all watching on TV. I'm like, why are you giving your team a chance to bleep this up? That's all. Nothing good is going to come out of not just doing another quarterback sneak. Like Peyton was saying, just sneak it four times in a row. And you come out of a timeout, and you hard count, and you back the offense up, and then you throw a pick. Just disaster. That game should have ended several times. And either team could have said, game over, we won. It was insanity last night. I've never seen a game end that way.
But Gruden gets the slide because they won the game. Like, right. Mike, I'm glad you brought it up because it was a terrible, terrible job of coaching by John Gruden in that spot.
He got lucky. Yeah. And his job, I'm not going to say his job is on the line, but, you know, Gruden is starting to appear in coaches on the hot seat stories regarding the NFL.
I mean, if not now, then when?
Well, had he lost, he would have been super second guessed.
So many people stealing that show right now. And look at me, industry. I've seen it on two shows already on the mothership. Look at me in my eyes. Screw you. You could take any of the other games, but that one is particularly close to my heart. Dan, do you want to do overreaction week on Lamar Jackson?
I enjoyed something they did on Get Up the other day, and I was embarrassed that I enjoyed it. What they did is, and I don't know the name
stole it from me.
Of the segment, it's something Damian Woody related, and it's Big Man, and he comes out with a mallet, and he just smashes a helmet to pieces.
That's the best.
That's quality TV. Yeah. Absolute classic.
So good, Damian.
You're absolutely right. Enjoy the hell out of that. That's football.
I want to ask you guys, because Stephen A. Smith has been over my shoulder the entire show today, I want to ask you guys, have you noticed how much happier he is this week and in happier in general that he ran off Max and he no longer has to share the platform with Max?
You be careful. He might stab you in the back.
Why would he stab me in the back?
You said he's sitting over your shoulder the entire time.
Oh, that's a joke.
Yeah,
I see.
That's a good one.
He just did it to Max.
I get it.
Yeah. Reach right through the
natural,
TV.
It's only natural that Stephen A. would appear more invested in this incarnation of First Take because it's a reflection on him. It's his choices. He wants Keyshawn Johnson to succeed. So he is going to be as into it as you've ever seen him be on First Take.
Keyshawn Johnson, do you believe there was an argument or a conversation about whose name goes first on that morning show with Max, Keyshawn, and Jay Williams? Because Max is making his way to morning radio. Max, I told you this yesterday. It's hard for me to explain what it is that Max Kellerman is doing with his life right now, because his life is about to get swallowed by the giving of opinions. I've told you before that his wife has told him, Max, stop talking so much, because he was filling all the time on First Take. And now he's sharing a space with Jay Williams and Keyshawn, and they've been doing their own show. And Max is not there to be traffic cop on their show. Max is coming in to whatever chemistry it is that they've developed over the time they've developed it. And it's Keyshawn's name that is first on the marquee, but I'm guessing Max is going to do a great deal more talking than Zubin was doing.
No question. It's already started to happen to Max. We're already 2 weeks in, and he already looks like 5 years older.
It's 2 days in. It's not 2 weeks in. It's two days that he's into doing this morning show and doing this afternoon show that he's going to do in the afternoon.
I would just say mornings. I think this is his second week of mornings, and it already, like, I could see it wearing on him.
It's the both of them that's going to kill him. Are they going to put a couch? Is he going to be in a cot? Like, he's got to do.
I don't know the inner workings.
He's got to do an hour of television. That's not. You just don't walk in and do an hour of television. That requires a certain amount of preparation.
Lots of questions. I'm with you. Does he take a nap? Like, how does this work?
Well, because Stugatz, you've left here for 6 months every day complaining about how tired you are. You're not starting as early as he is, and you're not ending as late as Max is, and you're not responsible for as much content in general. As Max is. And so I don't think people understand. I don't think Max understands. And I don't think ESPN executives understand what they've done to him. He's going to gray. He's going to get gray faster than Barack Obama did. Even grayer than Stephen A. Smith stealing his entire soul over 5 years.
I love the idea that between shows you have him on a little 2 foot wide army cot. That's great.
What time do you think his stove alarm goes off in the morning?
What time do you have to get up at 6 a.m. For a 6 a.m. show that requires that much, right? Because, Stugatz, you did it. Didn't you do it one day, the traffic cop job of grabbing all the promos, grabbing all the reads? And I believe you slept all week after doing it one day at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I woke up at 4:15 a.m. Now, the hotel was right next to where I had to do the show. So I woke up at 4:15. I was there by like 5 o'clock. I was exhausted by 11. Like, I couldn't function by 11 o'clock, you know? So it's really tricky. I could not imagine having to do a television show after doing 4 hours twice of morning radio.
Twice as long is highly questionable. Like, it's not just a half hour. Right. I don't know what that show is going to look like, but I'm assuming it's his show, and I'm assuming he's going to be responsible for an hour of content. And if he was talking so much on First Take that his wife is saying, Max, you're talking too much now. Max admits it. Like, Max admits that he can't have normal conversations anymore, that he's just he's blowtorching everybody's eyebrows because the thing on First Take distorted him so much, and now he's doubled it.
So this is interesting. In the morning, Zubin would just throw it to Jay Will or Keyshawn, and then Zubin would take the ball back when they gave him the ball back. And what I've noticed is Max is throwing it out to Keyshawn and Jay Will, but Max is taking the ball back when he wants the ball back. And so it's going to be interesting to see, because Keyshawn's got a massive ego. He does. I mean, so we'll see what happens. But that's Keyshawn's show. Make no mistake about it. At least according to Keyshawn.
Is it Keyshawn's show?
I mean, you don't think Max thinks his name should be first?
Well, I think the show originally was Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Right.
So if you're coming in to replace Zubin, you have to assume, you know, that place on the totem pole, I guess.
Billy, how do you feel about the useless sound montage experience? It was an awful lot of work that you did today, and I feel for you. And my initial thought upon seeing you this morning, when you just said bleeping montage, Dan, and then told me that you had to sit through 7 hours of press conferences, my initial thought is we've got to get you out of that. You have to either we make it more efficient for you. We cannot have you doing that every week for 3 minutes of content where you're buried in a dungeon of suffering. Listening to these coaches. I know the audience wants it. I love it too, but that doesn't seem like an efficient use of your time or a joyful one.
Yeah. We have a plan in place to try for next week. We'll see how it goes. You know how it is, Dan. It's a game of adjustments. Every week we'll try different things, see what sticks.
How miserable are you today, and how much echoing fatigue is on you because you had to slog your way through those depressing cliches? And after a you hate football already. Week one, you seem defeated.
I hate football season. I absolutely hate football season. Useless sound, finding celebrity prognosticators, grid of death. My brain just stops working. I don't even know what I'm saying right now. I don't like football. And we've just begun. We've only just begun with football season.
Week one. Yeah, that's just beginning. Yeah. I'm looking at Al Waller's last six games right now. He might be the greatest player Gruden's ever coached. Last six games, 53 catches, 759 yards, 5 TDs. Dan, seriously, you do the math. I'm not going to do it. Translate that over to 16-game season, or 17 for that matter. Get back to me.
We'll use your calculator that is still on your desk in your home because you still cling to the use of a calculator. I will say again that Jerry Rice at 40 years old had more yards in a season than Waller had. And this is not to discredit Waller. Waller in any season. He's the new Frankenstein evolution of that position. Every team has something that is like that, correct? This 6'7 guy who can turn around and is basically always open because a linebacker or a defensive back can't get around his body.
Well, Waller was a first-round draft pick in the PFPI fantasy draft, and we all laughed at the time, but now you can see why. Right? I mean, he's great. You know,
Did you talk about anything today that wasn't you?
He was picked 9th. We all laughed. Waller. But last laugh to the picker.
Gruden coach Favre.
It is time now for a weekly update on our favorite team, Rex Lobos. Here is their head coach and president of football operations, Greg Cody.
To tell you people, I wish I had better news.
Oh no.
The Lobos killed the draft. We had the best team coming out of the draft by acclamation, had a rough opener, lost 120-83. I tell you what, nothing went our way. It began on Thursday Night Football when we got a combined total of 10 points from guys who were projected from 28, and it was all downhill from there. But I got to tell you, Lobos don't quit. When the going gets hard, we play harder, we work harder, and we continue with only 3 words. We are the Lobos!
Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.